Hello and welcome back to another Biology on the Beach. This is our fourth portion of our genetic talk. We're talking about mutations. Let me just step back from the water here a little. The effects of meiosis can be non-disjunction or translocation. Also aneuploidy, which is going to be a cell with one extra or one less chromosome. In this case, we have non-disjunction as well. So let's just talk a little bit about this process of the errors of meiosis. First of all, we have non-disjunction. Now, when we look at non-disjunction, it's what the name implies. We did not get a disjunction. We did not separate in anaphase with our chromosomes. As you know, you got the pairs of chromosomes that should be separating to either side, and that does not happen in non-disjunction. Translocation is exactly what the term implies. Translocates. It's not where it's supposed to be. It's in another spot. And indeed, it goes to another chromosome. So it's going to be attaching there. That's called translocation. But when we look at, for instance, with our aneuploidy, a cell with one extra or one less chromosome is going to occur. So we can see that if we have a non-disjunction and an incorrect separation of the chromosomes occurs during meiosis, then we're going to get aneuploidy. And one of the examples of aneuploidy would be Down syndrome, also known as trisomy 21. What does trisomy 21 mean? Well, tri means three, somy means body. So there's three bodies or three chromosomes on the 21st chromosomal area. So in Down syndrome, the 21st chromosome has not two chromosomes, but three. So it's also called trisomy 21. The person with Down syndrome has a flattened face, almond-shaped eyes, reduced mental capacity, and a childlike disposition. And they're wonderful to be around. Usually the age of the mother is the factor in developing of Down syndrome. If we look at any kind of chart, we see that as an individual's age increases, the more chance of Down syndrome also increases. To about, when the person's about 38 or so, a mother's age is about 38, it jumps, the risk of Down syndrome jumps considerably from 0.8 to about 3.6%. So old eggs are really going to be the problem with Down syndrome. Now they're also called point mutations, and a point mutation is going to be a single nucleotide base that's changed in the DNA. You remember that we talked about DNA bases. We said that G always goes with C and A always goes with T. So if any of these things happen, then of course we're going to have a point mutation, we call it. The most common is called substitution. And substitution is going to be where a gene is replaced with a different gene. We have, for instance, sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell anemia is just a base pair that's off in the whole genome. So that's just one example of a devastating disease with just a little bit of a tweak or a little bit of a mutation, just a point mutation. Now insertion is where a gene is added to the sequence, such as hemophilia would be an example of this. So now, in substitution, what happens is that you have a gene that's not supposed to be there. In insertion, you put in a new gene. So a new gene is added to the sequence. We also have deletion, where we actually take out some genes, and that shifts everything. When that happens, then cystic fibrosis, which is a devastating disease as well, could be caused. It's the problem with the lungs. So we can see that substitution being most common is where we have our gene being replaced with a different gene. Insertion is a gene that's going to be added to the sequence, and then deletion would be where they just delete everything. So in insertion, you have everything pushing back. In deletion, you have everything sort of coming forward. So when we look at deletion or duplication, or even we have inversion as well, but insertion is going to be where we actually added a new chromosome to the area. Now there's also called a frame shift, and that's really what happens when we talk about insertion or deletion. What happens is that the DNA chain will shift to the right or to the left. The gene uses a code of three bases, as you know. Insertion or deletion can disrupt the reading frame, resulting in a completely different arrangement of the bases. So for instance, let's say that we have a gene sequence of GCAT, G-C-A-T. Then we do deletion, where we actually have now G-C-T. And then that would shift everything to the left, as you can see. But now let's say that we have an insertion. Now you have G-C-A-T, we insert another T, for instance. So now it's G-C-A-T-T. That's going to push everything to the right. As a result, translation causes an altered protein. Protein being created is going to be abnormal because it's either going to be too short of the information, or it's going to be too long of the information, or it's going to contain the whole total wrong information because of its shifting. It'd be like if you were reading a sentence and we decided to add a letter to the beginning of the sentence, which would push all the letters to the right, and then mixing up the spaces between the words, and we wouldn't be able to read that, sort of what's going on, and the body's not able to read the genes, so it can't make the appropriate proteins. As we know, genes are going to be dictating the creation of proteins. So an example of a point mutation would be, for instance, if we had TACTTC, for instance, substitution would look like TACATC, where we replace the T with an A. Insertion would look like where we inserted another T to it. The frame shifts to the right, elongating the strand. Deletion looks like TACCC, which we would be lacking a T and a T, and that would shift everything to the left, shortening the strand. Now a mutation is going to be a homozygous recessive for a lethal allele, which usually causes death. Now why would a homozygous recessive usually cause death? Because it's a lethal allele. Lethal means that it's going to kill the person. But why? Well, we described this before. We said we don't want to have lethal alleles in the gene pool, so they're going to cause death, and therefore the individual will not be able to pass on his genetics. Such diseases as sickle cell anemia, as we described, would be a lethal allele, or potentially lethal. Cystic fibrosis, which we mentioned a little bit, affects the lungs, the cell wall malformation or malfunction of the walls of the lungs, and this occurs more in whites. Tay-Sachs disease is a lipid enzyme problem with the child dying at about 4 years old, a devastating disease, very, very painful disease, and usually affects Jews, particularly Ashkenazi Jews, or it's higher in that population. Also in Huntington's disease, this is a unique disease. It causes degeneration of the brain and death at 65 years old or even younger, depending. But the reason it's unique is because it's a dominant allele. Most lethal alleles, as we mentioned, are going to be recessive because they kill the person. This Huntington's disease also kills a person, but it kills them later in life. So they could have had a chance to have children during their lifetime and therefore pass on the Huntington's disease to them. It's also called Huntington's chorea because it gives the individual sort of a jerky kind of motion that they manifest. So this is an unusual mutation because of the fact that it is a dominant allele. And why it's dominant is because the individual could have had children. So think of a hunter with his gun, and he's dominating over his prey. So that would be Huntington's disease is a dominant allele. Now, we can't always think that mutations are necessarily negative. Sometimes a mutation is an adaptation to the environment. Sickle cell anemia, while a disease, is still nonetheless, you have your advantage if you're in a malaria environment. In Africa, for instance, where there's lots of malaria, you're going to be resistant to malaria because half of your blood is going to be that sickled form that the malaria will not be able to infect. Malaria is a parasite. It comes from a mosquito. So you're injected with the parasite when the mosquito bites you, and then that goes into your red blood cells, and then it starts to reproduce itself. Well, if you only have half your red blood cells that are going to be regular red blood cells, then your body will only be able to produce 50% of the parasite, and your body can fight that off. Whereas if you had normal blood cells, both normal blood cells, then you could die from that malaria. Also, other positive effects of mutations will be to create advantageous varieties in the gene pool. So genetic variety, as we said, is very important to decrease disease reproduction. Now, blood types are going to be an example of multiple alleles. The body has a choice of more than two alleles for a single trait. So this is going to be interesting because we have one trait being type A blood, another trait being type B blood, another trait being a combination of A and B, or another type being type O blood. So blood types are an example of multiple alleles. So the body has a choice, as we said, between of more than two alleles for a single trait. Type A blood can be either a heterozygous genotype of AO or a homozygous dominant of AA. So that's going to be our type A blood. In addition, type B can be heterozygous, which would be BO, or it could be homozygous, which would be BB, big B, big B. Now, AB can only be heterozygous because it's going to be A or B. This is a good example of codominance, because the A and the B are both dominant alleles, and they're going to be coming together. O can only be homozygous recessive. So that's going to be a small O and a small O. So it's a recessive trait, so therefore it can only manifest if both are there. As we said with the kid, we said that the blonde hair of the mother didn't come through because it's a recessive trait. If the father would have been blonde, then the kid probably would be blonde as well, could potentially be blonde, because you would have two recessive traits, and therefore they would be able to manifest. So I like to use blood type at the end of the lecture at this time, only to show sort of a review of what we talked about previous, about homozygous and heterozygous. I think it's a very, very interesting example, and one that you can relate to, because, you know, it's whatever your blood type is. So there's also the chromosomal maps. The chromosomes are mapped by counting the number of recombinations that are going to be produced. So the recombinations genetic recombination is the normal process by which a strand of DNA is broken and then joined to a different DNA molecule. This occurs during meiosis and genetic crossover. The higher the percentage of recombinance, that's what they call them, recombinance, for a pair of traits, the greater the distance that's separating the two loci, or the location, on the chromosome. By repeating experiments, you can get an idea of the location or the map of a trait on a chromosome. And that's going to be through recombination, or checking out the number of recombinants in the experiment. So we also have a phenomenon of gene linkage. Now, gene linkage is going to be where the traits that tend to be inherited together as a sequence of an association between their genes. All of the genes of a given chromosome are linked. Where one goes, they all go. Linked genes do not observe the genetic or the phenotypic relationships predicted by Mendel, right? Because remember, we said that you could be blonde and not be stupid. So that was that was the second law. And his second law then would not apply in this gene linkage concept, because you're going to be having a bulk of genes traveling together. So Mendel's crosses, what he assumed was that there was independent assortment of the chromosomes and the genes, but we can actually have a linked situation. If genes are linked, then what will happen to the ratios in the dihybrid test cross? Would they be able to be different, or would they be modified? Yes, indeed, they would be modified, wouldn't they, those ratios? So that's our discussion of genetics. We broke it down into four different parts. So I hope you enjoyed that. I wish you the best. And I'll see you again on another Biology on the Beach. Bye now.